We have a pretty cool interview at the very end of the podcast with comedian Greg Warren, who's got a new streaming comedy special on YouTube called The Salesman. He'll tell you about all that after the closing jingle.
And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast, Big D and Bubba podcast.
The podcast brought to you by Pickle Jar. This is episode 429. That means there's 428 other ones that you can listen to. A lot of people actually choose to start from episode one and then listen. Like, they'll listen to our radio show in the mornings and then they'll listen to the podcast in the afternoons. It's a pretty great way to do it.
First couple podcasts.
Oh, they're fun. Fun. Pickle Jar is like that super cool friend that always knows about great new music before everybody else. Who's whistling? That was weird. It was like hearing my dad's hearing aids all of a sudden. Is that a nose? Somebody got a nose whistle. Pickle Jar is like that cool friend, like we said. They always know about all the new music before everybody else. There it is.
No, it's me.
It's you.
Oh, yeah, it is you.
Okay, I said that, y'all. You have to keep saying it. Jeez.
If you go to the Pickle Jar app, you'll be able to find exclusive photos, videos.
I'm him.
Plus, you can enter to win flyaway experiences and tickets to VIP events. Download at picklejar.com. Well, it's kind of like the stomach gurgling. You know, anytime my stomach gurgles, you know, we play the old highlight reel.
Please don't.
Yeah, that's enough, dude.
That's enough. That.
Really? This was the podcast.
No. Can't do that. Not
what was
just
that from?
Yet.
What was that? It's him.
I'm him.
Cannonball Run.
Cannonball Run.
As Dom DeLuise.
Yes. Is he dead?
Yeah, he died.
Is he really?
Yeah, a long time ago.
I don't know, man.
The opening to Cannonball Run is regarded as one of the finest openings of any movie, car movie anyway, ever done. It's done with a helicopter out in the desert with a, what was that? A Lamborghini?
It was a Lamborghini with the two girls in it?
Yeah.
It was Farrah Fawcett and somebody else, right? In the Lamborghini? Like all the Cannonball Run movies were like star vehicles. It was like, watch it. Okay, so if you don't know about them, you've never seen?
No, what? I'm a girl.
Oh, no. No, this is not girl or boy humor. This is just great comedy.
Sounds boyish.
It's basically
you mentioned
race.
Cars and Farrah Fawcett.
Okay. Well, did you drive a car today?
I mean, yeah.
Okay, do you look like Farrah Fawcett?
No.
Was Burt Reynolds the sex symbol of the 70s and 80s?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Was he?
He's the star of this show. And I mean, there's so much going on. I mean, even Frank Sinatra is in the movies. And it's basically like, you know how the Love Boat used to have all these cast members that they would just throw on? Every week you would have like all these
guest stars.
Guest stars.
Mm-hmm. And that's basically what Cannonball Run is. Every time like there's a Japanese car, I think it was a Mitsubishi Conquest or whatever it was. And it was driven by this young actor named Jackie Chan.
Oh.
So he's got his little thing in there. And it's like there's just all kinds of great cameos in the shows. The guy from the James Bond movie, remember Jaws?
He's in there. Yeah, also, the guy himself is there. James Moore.
Roger Moore.
Roger Moore's in it.
Oh, now you have my attention.
He's driving a Lotus. It's just a funny, great classic. I don't even know where you can stream it.
I'm sure it's out there on somewhere, something. But anyway, the Cannonball Run is a real race that I think they just did it. They just finished up like maybe a month or two ago. The guys will start. They start in New York or wherever it is, Jersey, and then they go all the way across the country to California. And they kind of like the behind the scenes setup of their cars. They'll go, okay, we're getting ready for the Cannonball Run. This is what we got, and they'll have like in the back seat, it's just fuel, tanks of fuel,
so they don't have to stop.
They have a camera that's mounted on top that shoots far down the road, so that they can pull up. Cops or speed traps or whatever. They have a laser. They have a radar detector. They have a radio, what do you call it, a scanner.
Yeah.
They have all kinds of stuff.
And they also, a lot of them have advanced drivers, like teams of drivers to go ahead of them and scout the road.
Oh, right, right, right.
And they all have CBs and, you know, cell phones, and everybody's connected, and it's just a really...
Okay. I actually listened to a podcast about that. I don't think I realized it was Cannonball Run, but yeah, they were talking about switching people out and making it so people didn't have to rest or something.
So,
or if your driver got tired, you didn't have to worry about, you just had somebody who could literally switch seats with them.
The actual Cannonball Run is a cross-country road race based on the event called the Cannonball Baker Sea to Shining Sea Memorial Trophy Dash. It was initially to protest the 55-mile-per-hour speed limit that they put into effect back then in the United States. And it was basically named after some guy who rode his motorcycle in the 1920s across the country. And they're like, yeah, this is what we're going to do. And they still are doing the runs. By the way, you can rent it on Amazon. It's on Google Play. It's on YouTube. So there's a lot of options to find it still. That's such a great movie. You're making me want to watch it. And I know Frank, my son, has never watched it. And he would find there's some really, really funny stuff in the movie.
There's a movie called Speed Zone, which was like, I think it was intended to be Cannonball Run 3.
I think they did Cannonball Run 3,
No,
though.
It was Cannonball Run 2, and then there was a movie called Speed Zone. It's very similar. It's been packaged as Cannonball Run 3, but that wasn't originally it. It's almost the same movie. It's just like 10 years later, and it's got John Candy and the Smothers Brothers and Brooke Shields and a bunch of – it's another thing where it's just a bunch of people who were – really famous at that
cavalcade
time.
The Cavalcade of Stars.
Cannonball Run 2 is whenever Jamie Farr was playing the part of the wealthy sheik.
Wait, what?
Jamie Farr
Klinger
is in it.
Yes,
Klinger from MASH. And he puts up the money for the race, and he's like, it's so over the top and fantastic. You definitely need to check it out.
Yes.
As our buddy Lance.
This is Roger Ebert's review. I'm going to read it because it just made me smile. Read my lips. Cars are not funny. Fast cars are not funny. It is not funny when a car spins around and speeds in the other direction. It is not funny when a car flies through the air. It is not funny when a truck crashes into a car. And he just keeps going on. I'm like reading this and going, actually, sometimes that crap's pretty funny. Have you ever seen Smokey and the Bandit?
That was his thing?
Yeah.
That's literally what he said?
Yeah. Cars crash through roadblocks are not funny. None of these things are funny. They've never been funny.
Did he really say read my lips?
He really did. It says
that's
read
a shame because
that
didn't age well.
Does it go?
Oh, dang, Carson.
Wow.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Wow.
Sorry.
Do you have, is that Lance?
Yeah, that's Lance.
Okay, and do we have him and Akhenaten or whatever?
The 3,000 year old mummy.
Okay, right,
I'm going to play him back to back.
You know what? No explanation. If that doesn't make you laugh, you need to watch some more old podcasts because that is, you need to get caught up.
Or Cannonball Run.
Or all at the same time. Man. It's been a crazy week. So Patrick is leaving the show. I don't know if we've addressed it on this podcast. Didn't we talk about it?
We didn't address it on the podcast
We said last podcast things were going to be a little bit different. Patrick is leaving the show. He is going to take a new job apart from us. Although he is still going to be kind of working with us on a side project that we have, a deal that we work with Tracy Lawrence. Mm-hmm. It's called Honky Tonk. It's
like
a great thing.
I will probably make appearances on the podcast more than anything else. Because
so you might still be popping in?
The timing of it, I think I could, you know, occasionally pop by just for fun.
I think we need
on the podcast.
I think we need a new theme. I mean, because whenever you're gone,
I don't think you should.
And it, whenever you're gone, though, it's going to be like there's nobody going to be able to
say. Who's going to write it? We're not talented.
We could
why would you change the
same
theme that we've had for 423 episodes or whatever?
Because it's kind of the messy sing-along.
I give you the theme. I wrote it. I performed it. It's my gift to you.
It's a gift.
Continue using it.
The actual writing of the podcast was a podcast.
That was episode 6 or 7. I think it's 6.
Pretty early.
That is really a funny look into the...
For a while, it was... And now...
No, for like 6 episodes, it was Bubba going, the podcast, hey! or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we didn't have a theme at the beginning.
And they were like, you know, we need a theme. And then you grabbed the guitar.
We spent a whole podcast writing the theme on the spot.
And performing it.
Came out really nice.
And we did the tune. We did the sad version, which
is my favorite. Actually.
Yeah,
I don't like to hear it. And it's got to be scattered, you know, in there. It can't be every week.
No,
I want to play that for you now. For those of you who have never heard the sad podcast intro, like, you know, if something bad is going on in the world, then we would play this. Crawl.
Why?
I don't know why. It just does.
It's
go
awesome.
Ahead.
It's so good. Here we go.
Big D and Bubba have a show 5 days a week. They don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one. And that's how we get podcasts.
There's more.
Oh, yeah. The podcast.
How we get the podcast. I like it way better.
The podcast.
I like it better than the intro that we have right
now.
I do. Okay. I do.
It was supposed to be for, like, you know, what if, like, there's some national tragedy and we can't start the podcast off with BD, but I'm like, all right.
No.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so that's a lot better.
That's a lot better. It's not.
Well, now, listen, there's a national tragedy. We're going to play this one. Equally stupid.
Equally stupid.
And then, like, that other, same thing, that's where we came up with the outro podcast jingle as well, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This was the podcast.
Well, don't play that, because that's when we know it's over.
I know, but I'm saying that's almost the same as the intro.
Yeah.
Watch.
Big D and Bubba.
No, I know it's still happier.
Big D.
I mean, this was clearly
this
me trying to be.
This was the podcast.
They're similar.
It's a smile in my
voice.
Sounds
like it. It sounds like.
We all right, both lie silently still in the dead of the night.
So Patrick is leaving the show. He's leaving the show. We talked about it on the radio show,
yeah.
But after 24 years, he's finally spreading his wings and flying. He's going to start his own. Oh, you tell people what you're doing.
Yeah, I'm going to do my own show. I'm going to have a show that's on. Late at night, we're going to start on like 50 radio stations and then grow it from there. And I'm going to have a cast of people around me and build, start
you
with
know,
a producer.
We used to make
then,
fun of guy who landed on third base and thought he hit a triple. That's kind of you now.
Nah, man. Hey, you know what? If you don't think I earned that spot,
no,
you're kidding yourself.
I know, but it's just funny. I didn't realize you were starting.
Never mind
that
the 24 years behind.
Do you know how long we had to wait for 50?
24 years? Did you have to wait 24 years?
That's good. Okay, good point.
I'm still waiting.
No, it's not quite like that. But
no, I didn't even think about that. I'm not a big fan of that either. There is no.
Hey, you got to pay your dues, man.
Excuse me. I'm not a fan of that. I'm not. Why? Why? Why would you not? It's people who haven't done it that would say that. Would be like, what? Yeah, no, we actually did. We didn't think we were ever going to. We said, they told us, you'll never get more than, you can't do more than six.
No, it was five at first.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever.
Can't do more than five. Then we did six.
Then we did six.
You can't do more than six.
Can't do more than that. And then we
seven,
just,
eight.
Yeah, you know, man, we just, it was claw. And you got what's his face across the street. They give them to him. Yeah. I get that. I understand what he's saying. He's half joking. I get it. He's happy for you. But it's a exciting time. I'm excited that you're leaving, doing your own thing, man. Gonna start to.
It's a little sad. I mean, I don't. People
it's
are
a
like,
lot sad.
You know, everyone says, "How are Big D and Bubba taking it?" And Carson, I'm like, "Well, they're not. I mean, I'm not happy about it. Like, this is a great job. I'm not like, yeah, finally, I don't have to go back there. No, like, I'm gonna miss it, but."
You still just, come back. I'm,
let's be honest.
As
I'm
somebody
not
who's been out in the real world, Patrick, it's 24 years you've been sitting here. I'm going to tell you, it doesn't get better than this. So good luck. I can say that as a sage, wizened, beat up human being.
Yeah.
I just
no, but
I hope that, you know, you get there and you're like, I know, because you've been out of that world for a while. Mm-hmm. You're going to be like,
I'm sure there will be things that do that to me. I know it, but
there's things that do that to you here.
Yeah,
so
that's
so
true.
But
yeah,
not the corporate thing. The corporate thing's it's a little
I'll
different.
I'll be a little insulated from that because of the way my deal is set up. So I'm not worried about it. But yeah, it's going to be annoying at times.
Yeah, more annoying than anything.
But, you know,
we are going to miss you.
Yeah.
I mean, we thought, I mean, for years we would say, like, oh, yeah, Patrick's going to leave us. You know, he's going to leave. He's going to go. And he never would go.
I actually never heard the.
I mean, we left the door open.
I mean, we did. We were like,
we didn't lock him in or nothing. I don't know. I just stayed. Gosh, we kept trying to give him a hint.
I really thought
Bubba
that
used
once
to like actively hint at me to leave. Like, it always felt like Bubba was trying to encourage me to leave.
No,
like,
no,
hey, you know,
that.
You could go do your own show.
It wasn't that. I'm like, I always said you're going to end up doing your own show. I was always your biggest proponent there. I was always like, yeah, man,
then,
you're gonna.
And then
you're
life
gonna.
Happened, and I got married and divorced, and I had a kid, and I
well, that's why I thought
a
you
lot of radio
leave.
To get your own show. You have to be able to move to wherever the job is, and I couldn't do that, so I needed to stay here. So I might as well stay here and do this.
Yeah.
Also, I never heard this before, but someone told me last week that I got out of my golden handcuffs, and I was like, "Oh, that's a interesting
golden handcuffs
is when you have a job that's so good you don't look for what might be better jobs because your job is really, really good." And I was like, "Oh yeah, I see. I mean, that's
I've never heard that phrase. That's nice."
That's kind of true. My job, I haven't looked for other jobs because this is a really freaking great job.
Yeah, and you've been offered other jobs through the years.
Anyway, people have come in, but it was always like, I'll tell you why I took this one. Because when people would offer me jobs, it was usually to run a radio company or go work at a record label and do stuff behind the scenes or go do whatever, programming stuff. And I didn't want to give up being on the air and trying to tell jokes.
It's fun to do this.
And then so when someone said, we don't want you to do any of that stuff, we just want you to do a show. And I went, oh, I want to try that. That sounds like something new and interesting. And
yeah.
And go try it.
So. Yeah.
And I might be terrible at it. And so, you know, but then I'll try something
else. You're not going to be terrible at it. You're good. I mean,
I can always go back to being the guy. I could always get one of those jobs where I am not on the air. You know, but if you take, I say that, but I'm not being pompous, but I'm just meaning that once you have one of those jobs, it's hard to get back. Once you become the guy who's running radio stations or whatever behind the scenes, it's hard to get back on the air. A lot of people never do it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many people do we know at record labels who used to work in radio on the air? And once you go work at a record label and then they talk about how great it was, oh boy, it was so much fun in radio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This really is. Like, people ask, they're like, you ever wake up and you have a hard time going to work? No, I have a hard time waking up.
Yeah.
But the actual, once I'm up and going to work is great. I mean, I've said it. I think we've had two or three bad days at work since 2014. I mean, there's not a whole lot of them.
Look at Carson's face.
No, I'm
when
just
were
saying.
The bad days? Was I here? Okay. I'm
I
sorry.
Don't know.
I didn't know.
There have been
a couple here and there.
You know,
but they're so few and far between.
Yeah.
I mean, we get to come to work and be silly. We get to go and goof off and have dumb conversations and say the most inane, dumb things. And that's our job. I mean, that's pretty great.
It really is. It really is.
We go to work with a bunch of people that we like, and we try to make each other laugh. That's awesome.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. But, you know, throw it all away. Just go ahead and do your thing.
I mean, the grass ain't always greener, Patrick.
I've
lived on all sides of the fence.
You still have time to get out. Do you have time to get out?
No, I'm locked in now. Now it's my job.
You have any kind of like a loophole, like unless I'm attacked in an alley by, you know, a lion.
I don't think so. My lawyer's really good, but I don't think he's that good, you know.
You're like, oh, they don't know. I have the Trump card.
I like that escape hatch, though. I want somebody to do that.
So there's something called, in most people's employment contracts, there's something called a sole employment clause that you work for this company. And you could do other work, theoretically, with their permission. Mine has carve-outs to do all kind of crazy stuff. Like, stuff that I might do and stuff that I would, like, never even dream of doing.
Keep talking. I'm going to have you on in there. I have to get a coffee in my throat.
It's like, you know, I can do work for you guys. Anything I want to do for this company, I can. Another company that we work with here in town, I can do work for them. I can also do stand-up comedy or comedy recordings or songwriting or music performance. And I think I threw in something in there like, you know, fly fishing or something stupid just to see if they read it, which, you know, and said, I can do any of that stuff and they can't say.
Well, I can imagine that they would. Yeah,
they would. But you just want to put stuff, you know, it's all about contracts are weird because you have to take it like everybody likes each other right now. We have to write a contract in case.
You have to write. You have to write how it ends. You have to all that has to be in there, the exit and all that.
Oh, it's, man. I've never negotiated my own contract. Like, that was a new one for me. You know how many contracts I've negotiated in that office
Oh, a lot.
For this show, but yeah, I've never negotiated one from this side for me.
Yeah.
So it was an interesting experience. I'm glad I got to do that. I never got to do that before. Yeah. You know?
That's what you said a second ago. So.
You're going to be great at this job, Patrick.
I asked one of the guys at the company across town. I said, "You have buyer's remorse yet?" And Charlie, you know Charlie. He goes, "Oh yeah,
oh,
yeah almost
sure.
immediately."
Oh yeah, it was.
Oh boy,
we saw it coming. Yeah, yeah. You're not gonna have a Big D to, and you're gonna have a Bubba to and a Carson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, not.
Yeah.
And wherever I go, I'm gonna be the fattest person there. And it's going to be not even close. Like,
yeah. So what's different?
Yeah. Wow, thanks.
See, that's exactly what Big D just talked about.
Yeah, so where's...
You're going to miss that.
Oh, man.
You're going to miss it. You're going to miss
we
it.
We got to cue that up for the next couple of gone. Weeks. Anytime something like that happens, just go to Trey Sack. Yeah. You're going to miss it.
Oh. Oh, I was thinking you're going to miss me, the Brooks and Dunn.
Yeah. Oh, you're going to miss me when I'm gone? Ah, that's,
so
that's
you can have
good.
That, and we can have you're going to miss this, yeah. And we could each go back and forth.
Good old Trace.
I love that. That's the best.
You're going to miss this. He turned to me and he said, you're going to miss this.
Are you making fun of Trace Atkins?
No.
Are you suicidal?
I am not.
No. Love that song.
The bartender turned and he said, you're going to
I don't think there's a bartender and you're going to miss this.
I know, but it's like every, like, you know, Kenny Chesney song.
That's right. They always start.
You always get some sort of sage advice from a unlikely song.
What I love about, I love those country songs where, like, the first verse and the second and third verse are, like, three total different time periods.
Oh, me too.
You know, like, I'm Already Taken by Steve Warner or Holes in the Floor of Heaven, same guy. And
or
Kenny
Hardy,
Chesney.
The Rock.
Yes, and where they start. I love that. Where are those songs?
I know. I love those too. You're like,
you just mentioned one. That's a new one. A rock. I mean, newish.
Yeah, it's newish. But speaking of music, I want it because it just happened today. Ed Sheeran won. Did y'all see that?
That's crazy.
That's freaking awesome.
That is, but it's also crazy because that song.
No. No.
Which one? Oh, wait, no. I'm thinking of Thinking Out Loud.
Yes,
Who
Thinking
was
Out Loud and Ed Sheeran and Let's Get It On.
Yeah, it's the identical song.
Nope. Different key. Different melody in almost every note, different lyrics, obviously. And it just, and all their whole thing was somebody with like no, a musicologist with no real music training going, yeah, they kind of feel alike. Hey, jury, don't you think these kind of feel like they're the same? That's not good enough.
They do feel, but okay, what about the, the guy?
Marvin Gaye and the other
yes.
guy?
Yeah. Lines.
Yeah, that was a complete sham. That guy, they should have never won that case. Yeah. Never. It used to be you had to prove the melody was the same, like 80% or something
you
like
know,
that.
You know, he's ticked because that and ruined his entire career.
Oh, it did. Robin Thicke just totally fell apart after that. Yeah.
And Robin Thicke has
Here's a
great
story
albums.
I didn't even know, and I wish I'd have known this when he was alive because he would have come in here and told us this. Charlie Daniels got sued by Acuff Rose Publishing because there was like a John D. Loudermilk song that has almost the exact same melody as Long-Haired Country Boy. It's like, and so Charlie Daniels did the same thing that John Fogerty did. He went to court with his guitar and sat on the stand and played the melody of the John Loudermilk song and then played his own and showed how they were different.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
He said, they're just not the same. And he goes, and I remember how I came up with this. Sitting in my kitchen and I just had this little part and then I thought, well, I'll go here with it. And he goes, and it was all original. I did it on my own and they're different enough that they're not the same on paper. And the judge went, you good, jury, y'all good? They went, yeah. Everybody got a free Charlie Daniels concert in the courtroom. And so they were like, yeah, you win.
Yeah.
But that kind of stuff, John Fogerty's old publisher sued him for copying himself.
Which
is
insane.
It's one of the craziest copyright lawsuits ever.
And didn't
he
win that
one?
He basically said, you know, I am
CCR. He took his guitar. He sat on the witness stand with his guitar and goes, the first song goes like this. And the second one's in a slightly, it's in a different key. And then it goes like this. And you can see how they kind of sound alike, but they're not the same. And they went, okay, well, thanks for coming.
Well, also, they sound alike because it's him.
It's him.
Yeah, him and styling.
It's his
and all
style.
That.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, it's, I mean, by this point in our history of humanness, it's hard to get something that hasn't been done.
Right. Ed Sheeran made a statement. They were showing it on, like, CNN and Fox and stuff. It was really good. He says, we have to stop having to fight these frivolous lawsuits. If it has to be some way to go, these aren't similar enough, I'm throwing it out. Mm-hmm. Like, just because a song kind of, like, we do it all the time with sounds alike.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like, yes, those songs kind of sound alike. That doesn't mean somebody ripped somebody off.
Yeah, and that was malicious or anything.
No, it's got to be intentional, and it's got to be really, like, right on top of the other one.
Most of these are done, like, the ones where the person wins, who is suing the person, and they win, it comes from a
like
history.
A straight sample, too, though.
Like, they're like, you know, I was there, you know, we toured together, or I was at his house, and it's usually there's more to it.
What was the band that sued Led Zeppelin for Stairway to Heaven?
Well, that's the other thing. Like,
because
didn't sue it. It was after the guy died, his family sued, and that was the case with the Marvin Gaye, with Robin Thicke. And then this is a Marvin Gaye song, but it's not his family suing. It's the guy who co-wrote the song with him. He died. His family suing.
His family win against Led Zeppelin? Because
no,
I've heard them.
I don't think so.
I've heard them. And again, they sound very similar, though.
Similar for like four notes. The dun, 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 dun. And then after that, everything's different. And so you go, well, you can't sue me for playing these.
But they had toured together for a little while before Stairway to Heaven, which meant that it was in their ear. And I always thought, yeah, that one's a little suspect. Mm-hmm. That one was pretty good. And you can find it. There's a YouTube video somewhere about it. And they break them down. And yeah, I'm with you. The song's content are completely different.
Totally different.
But the beginnings are very similar.
But that's not enough to win a lawsuit. And they didn't, you know. It's just...
Well, most, and something else too, is like modern songwriters now, they actually have insurance policies just in case they accidentally write something that's like somebody else. We had Brad Paisley in the studio one day, remember? Mm-hmm. He was noodling around. We were about to go on the air, and he's playing something. And
I remember that.
And I said, it was
Eric Clapton song.
Eric Clapton.
Didn't that Change the World by Eric Clapton? Yeah. He goes, no, that's something I wrote last night, which I'm going to go home and completely change now.
Because he realized at that moment, he's like, oh, wow.
Chris Stapleton told us that, too, that he has insurance. Just in case you get sued, like you have lawsuit insurance or something like that, because there are probably a lot of these that we never hear about.
What about like the Etta James, I'd Rather Go Blind, and Chris Stapleton's arrangement of Tennessee Whiskey?
I mean,
they're very, very similar.
I don't know anyone's ever done it, but again, it's a slow waltz kind of blues. There's probably 20 songs that sound like that.
Yeah.
And also, I would stand in court and say, that's not what made that song great. This melody, because that song's been released two other times and he arranged it and five other people could sing it. It was Chris Stapleton and it was magical. Yeah. So you can't come at me and go, oh, you stole my song and now you owe me all this. But I'm like, I don't know. Anyway, I just find that stuff really interesting, and I think it needs to stop because
there's some Bruno Mars.
I don't know how much Ed Sheeran spent fighting this, but it was a lot of time and effort and a lot of money.
Yeah.
Fighting this stuff.
So do they have to pay him now?
I didn't get that.
Or does he
It depends on the judgment. Like Gwyneth Paltrow, you know, got sued by that dude that supposedly she hit him on the slopes and then it came out he hit her. They ruled that even though it was decided in her favor, he did not have to pay her legal fees for what amounts to basically.
She sued him for $1.
Right,
so,
but it's,
you know, she could have sued him for more or countersued him.
But still, it was a frivolous lawsuit, and everybody knew that. And so, and I get it, she can afford it, but
they've been trying to change the frivolous lawsuit rules in a long time. But you can sue anybody for anything, and it's kind of sucks.
It's a real problem. All right. Anything else, guys?
I'm gonna go see Dad. My dad's birthday is coming up this weekend. 85. What?
That's why we're doing the podcast a day early, so Bubba can leave after the show.
Yeah. So
scoot, scoot.
Got a lot of stuff going on with that. I know my son is at the house. He's taking four showers now. And he's like, Dad, I'm just kind of wasting time. I'm like, what are you doing? So he's playing Fortnite and showering over and over and over.
What?
Because he's bored. He's like, I'm going to take another shower.
Wow.
That's the weirdest thing.
That is the weirdest thing
ever.
But he's clean.
Oh. Yeah,
and how many 17-year-old boys are clean?
Yeah, good point.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay, because you can listen to the regular show on the radio every day. It was the podcast.
Eh,
Comedian Greg Warren on the hotline. What's up, Greg? How are you, man?
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, you too. Man, I got a bud of mine who he went to West Point, and then he kept at it, and he ended up, I think he's at Google or Amazon or something. He's like some big wig.
Did Greg go to West Point? Is that why you brought it up?
Yep.
Wow. And now you're a comedian.
I think he brought it up because I did not keep at it. All right. I think he was trying to.
That was Bubba. Yeah. Bubba kind of jumped ahead of that. But yeah, my point was that, yeah, you didn't. You ended up selling Pringles. What in the heck? How do you do that?
Well, I mean, it's an honor. You know, Pringles, guys, it's a superior product. I mean,
science.
I'll tell you, the best thing about Pringles is efficient use of space, guys.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You ever open a can of Pringles?
Yeah. Yes.
Wall to wall, floor to ceiling, chip, 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 chip. You ever open a bag of Lay's? Air, guys. You just air. Bought air.
He's got a point.
That stuff doesn't belong in the snack aisle. It belongs in the balloon aisle because that's what you bought.
That's right. This is why you're the best salesman. And the stand-up comedy is called The Salesman. It's now streaming for free on YouTube.
By the way, the shape of a Pringle, a hyperbolic paraboloid.
Thank you.
Just in case you didn't see the food that built America. They taught me all about that.
I got you.
That's why I call this station, man. You guys, you know the stuff that other people don't know. I mean, you got engineers on staff, if you know that kind of thing.
So you were like, so you leave West Point, and your first job is you were selling, what, Jif peanut butter and Pringles as well for Procter & Gamble?
Yeah, Jif for Procter & Gamble. I want to be clear. Procter & Gamble doesn't own Jif anymore.
Okay.
You guys know who owns Jif?
The internet.
I don't know who.
No, it's a good guess. It's a good guess.
Who owns it?
Smucker's, guys.
Smucker?
Oh. Which makes sense.
Wow.
You're putting peanut butter and jelly together.
Peanut butter and jelly. They got both of them, guys. If these guys ever get a hold of bread, I mean.
Full circle. All right, Greg.
Yeah, well, that's a Sherman antitrust, though, isn't it?
Oh, my God, yeah. We'll bust that up.
Yeah, you can't own a whole
thing. Stop it. We ain't
stupid. Google still owns YouTube.
I was impressed by – so the salesman, which is now streaming on YouTube, directed by a guy that we all love, Nate Bargatze. How did that relationship come about?
Well, I've known Nate for a while. I think we did a thing together for Country Music Television several years ago when he was just a young guy. And he's obviously, you could tell then he was going to be big time, but – we hung out a little bit in New York, and then he wanted to produce three comedy specials, hour-long comedy specials that his fans could watch, you know, that were family-friendly.
Yeah.
Anybody can watch this stuff. And so we wound up making it happen. It was great, man.
I think that's smart. You know, you kind of get like-minded because it's hard. Like, being funny and being clean is hard. And, you know, both of you guys do clean sets. And I would think that you'd all want to kind of hang out together and kind of, what's the old, like the blue collar?
Like blue collar,
guys
they did
that.
The same kind of thing. Yeah, they
smart.
Yeah. Birds of a feather.
Yeah, for sure. So are you going to do any more with Nate as director?
I hope so. I mean, you know, it takes me a while to write a new hour of stand up. So
yeah, right.
Ask me in a couple of years.
Right.
Yeah. I got to figure out something to write about, guys. I've been talking about peanut butter for the last 3 years.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
subject.
I mean, your thing is, you know, kind of whatever the happening in the world, things that people can relate to. I mean, what's something that's going on, you know, in your life? Like, what are you looking at?
Well, I've been thinking a lot about. I was a college wrestler.
Oh wow!
I'm a big fan now, so I just got. Me and my dad went to this wrestling tournament, and I've been thinking a lot about that. And I, you know, I was good, but I didn't start that way.
Mm-hmm.
Like my freshman year, I had some bad matches. The worst was at University of Northern Iowa. I ran out of gas in the third period, and I just couldn't get off the mat. I couldn't move, mm-hmm. And the referee started making fun of me, and then the crowd was laughing at me like it was a Def Jam show. This guy was killing. My coach. Never let me forget that.
Yeah.
Warren, that reminds me of when you laid down at Northern Iowa. If I had one bad practice, that reminds me when you laid down at Northern Iowa. If I had a good practice, be like, Warren, good job. you got after it. Bunner, you suck. You remind me of when Warren laid down in Northern Iowa. You guys, he always said it reminded him. Like, I don't think he needed to be reminded of it. I think it was always on his mind. Like, I think every morning the alarm clock went off and he's like, well, I better not lay here in this bed like Warren did on that mat in Northern Iowa.
You can find Greg Warren. It's the special. It's streaming now for free on YouTube, and it's called The Salesman. The Salesman, just look up Greg Warren, comedian Greg Warren.
It's really funny. It really delivers. Not like Greg
laying there like a fish flopping. GregWarrenComedy.com. GregWarrenComedy.com. Greg, good talking to you, man. We'll talk to you again real soon, I hope.
Hey, guys, I really appreciate it, man.
All right, we'll see you later. Bye-bye.